This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride.
Do you guys ever work on your cars?
If I had one!
It's very satisfying. If you had a cool car, like mine, you could use eBay Motors.
Do you think that if I could get the individual parts and then assemble my own car?
Yeah, they do have over 122 million parts. Plus, with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they're guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time.
Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. That's EBAYMOTORS.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Mint Mobile. No more overpriced phone plans necessary. Big monthly bills, unexpected overages, expensive, and outdated.
Or you could stay outdated. Vintage is in.
My old phone has the perfect patina of Cheetos dust and teenage stank.
Okay, I have a better option. Mint Mobile, for a limited time, they have wireless plans that include unlimited talk, text, and data for just $15 a month. Upgrade your plan today at Mint Mobile. For limited time, wireless plans from Mint Mobile are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. That's unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer, go to mintmobile.com/distractible. That's mintmobile.com/distractible. mintmobile.com/distractible.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Good evening, gentle listener, and welcome to Distractable, a Wood Elf production with your hosts Wade, Mark, and Bob. This week, the tenacious triad tantalize and terrify with tirades toward that most troubling, fake technology. Please control thy timorousness and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to Distractable. Here we discuss anything that interests us and kind of vaguely compete to see who can bring the most captivating stories to the table or spin the craziest pile of bull honky you can imagine. Whoever brings the best story, as judged by me, the host, and winner of the previous episode, just to tout that a little bit, will be declared today's winner and will earn the right to host next week's episode. I have complete autonomy in judging this. I may or may not give you points. I may or may not give checks and minuses, and I have my own system, and it is secret, and you don't get to know. And who am I judging today?
Me!
Well, you probably know, but as always, joined by Mark and Wade. Hey, guys.
One of those is me!
Hello. Hi. I would like to just get ahead of the curve here. Uh-huh. I see where this is going. Uh-huh. There is an official rule in the Distractable guidelines and bylaws that says the judge cannot declare themselves the winner. I just want to point that out at the top of the episode because I don't think anyone at home listening knows that rule just yet. And I feel like it might come into play in this episode.
I mean, I have to give someone else a shot, so it'd be pretty rude of me to just continue to declare myself the winner even after I win all the other episodes where I'm not hosting.
Isn't it also a rule where the judge makes up the rules?
Sort of conflicting rules. You just got to resolve it on your own judgment. It'll be fine.
Huh. I haven't read the bylaws in a while, but I'm just saying like the cannot make the judge the winner one is probably above the other.
What if we're so bad we don't deserve the win?
What?
That's a fair question. That is possible.
No, that's not a fair question. No, wait, what?
What if you two submit for review such terrible crap that you don't deserve it?
Yeah,
you don't even beat each other, you both lose. Then by default,
I think Bob should win this episode. Honestly,
I would be the winner.
Well, number one, it's also not a democracy, Wade, and also two, my idea is going to be so incredible. I don't even know what the subject is, but I can already tell.
Not a democracy. Are we a cheerocracy? What are we?
Okay, all right. As the first winner, and obviously the most important storied winner, it's like George Washington, you know, he could have stayed on as president. The whole of the populace was like, keep going, King George, you know, but he was like, no, we must abide by the law.
Not with his crazy apple tree deforestation methods.
Oh my God.
So you're telling me that he was the first winner and he knew when he was done. He knew when he was out of content. He knew when he was washed and he gracefully went into the night by his own choice. Completely unlike what you are doing.
Are we retiring Distractable already? I'm not ready to say goodbye.
Yeah, this podcast is over. It's pretty much washed up. We only had like one idea.
So Bob's declaring himself the winner of the final episode?
Oh, maybe. We're not there yet, man.
Spoilers.
Look, the tradition thus far has been to talk personal stuff for a minute, okay? Give me something personal. What do you got?
I broke my balls in Europe when we did the You're Welcome tour.
Personal, not exactly current, but I'll take it.
Oh,
Mark, have you ever broken your balls?
No.
That's it. That sounds like a lie. Sounds like some juicy context behind that.
I've never broken my balls.
You ever damaged them?
No.
Oh, I did. I punched myself in the balls when I got scared streaming a couple weeks ago, months ago. I don't know how long ago it was. Years ago?
All right. So I don't know if you guys know about this, but I used to play a game called Nutball back in high school.
Yeah.
So when I say that I haven't broken my balls, I'm pretty sure I haven't, but Nutball did get pretty extreme. There also was a version we called Nutball Extreme that we did on a show that won't be named ever again. So my balls are fine. If anyone at home was wondering, my balls.
So they've recovered.
They were never out of the picture in the first place.
Who were you trying to impress out there with my balls are fine? Trust me.
Well, who? I don't want everyone thinking I got broke ass balls flopping in my pants.
This is the second episode where the intro has included concerning discussion of Mark's balls. Can I just say that?
When have we talked about my balls in another episode?
Episode 2, you were gloating about winning and you were like, the enormously testicled. You know what? I think we're getting like a weird, like, secondhand picture of some trauma that Mark suffered from a game of extreme nutball during his 11th grade year.
He's that guy that got ball implants.
It was like junior year of high school and like I got a bad hit, but they swelled up 3 times their size. And ever since then, I was like, oh, hell yeah. But it's a horrible medical condition. I've got like elephantitis.
I was imagining you popped one and when they asked what kind of prosthetic you wanted, you were like triple D's. And they were like, well, these are like breast implants. And you were like, is there bigger than triple D's? And they were like, I mean, traditionally, that's not the right idea. And you're like, no, quadruple D's. And the doctor eventually was like, all right, man, I mean, search that.
Oh my God, wait, I have to Google if there are testicle implants now.
Oh, 100%.
Not for myself, but you know. Just,
oh no, yeah, no personal interest for any reason related to any nutball injuries.
Not that this is the forum, but whenever a guy gets an erection, isn't some of the skin that helps in the extension come from the balls? So if you made your balls really big, wouldn't you have a tiny boner? Am I doing that science right?
I mean, by comparison, I guess?
That is a practical analysis of how the penis works that I have never and continue to not want to delve into.
Where does it come from? Where does it come from?
Where? Right, there's an article.
Where do boners come from?
There's an article, testicle implants, are they right for you? And this is talking about replacing if you lose a testicle, but I'm talking about testicle enhancement here.
This is not like reconstructive surgery if you survive, you know, cancer or if you have a real serious illness. This is like, they're just not big enough.
It's a thing! It's a thing!
Oh,
testicle enlargement in Beverly Hills! There are many factors which impact your sexual confidence. If you believe that your scrotal area is too small or unnatural looking, there is a solution. Testicle enlargement implants by doctor can restore your body, sexual identity, and your confidence.
I'm sure nobody can figure out who the doctor is. I'm glad you kept him anonymous.
Oh, there are pictures!
Okay, not Googling that.
Mark already had. He's just covering his tracks. Like, oh, what a surprise. Can't believe this exists right next to me. Oh, man, I live right next to the guy.
I already see that doctor for unrelated stuff. And I didn't. What if he offers the service? Maybe I'd ask him about it.
I'm putting a picture in the Discord of, like, the guy they have.
Pass.
No, it's not of balls, I swear. Just of the dude that they have. Just like, schedule. I don't know if this is the doctor or just some.
No, that's the patient. You can see it in his face. He's like, they're too small. Everyone's laughing at me. I need this.
I dress nice and I part my hair like this every day to cover up my weird sack.
Okay, so I regret forcing you to talk about personal stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I thought it started.
I'm the judge. This is a podcast. We haven't even gotten to the topic yet. Today's topic.
Oh, we're so distractible.
Oh, he said it.
Good.
Anyway, today's topic. Are you ready?
No. Yes.
The best fake technology. Something where you look at it and you're like, I know that that cannot exist, but this is on Kickstarter, or it's a video of this. Clearly this technology exists and is not at all computer graphics or faked in any way. I want your best fake technology.
Yeah. Okay. I already have an idea.
I do too.
Well, this is a great moment to pause and say that today's episode is brought to you by some sponsors, and this here they are.
This episode is brought to you by Mint Mobile. No more overpriced phone plans necessary. Big monthly bills, unexpected overages, expensive, and outdated.
Or you could stay outdated. Vintage is in.
My old phone has the perfect patina of Cheetos dust and teenage stank.
Okay, I have a better option. Mint Mobile, for a limited time, they have wireless plans that include unlimited talk, text, and data for just $15 a month. Upgrade your plan today at Mint Mobile. For limited time, wireless plans from Mint Mobile are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. That's unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer, go to mintmobile.com/distractible. That's mintmobile.com/distractible. mintmobile.com/distractible.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. Guys, I found another subscription. It's not even one. They keep coming.
What? That's crazy.
But that's okay, because I could use Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money can help you have full control over subscriptions, have a clear view of your expenses.
If there's anything in there that says, like, hey, please cancel this for me, don't press it.
I'm going to go press all of those buttons. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/distractible. That's rocketmoney.com/distractible. rocketmoney.com/distractible. You should get that, Mark. It's probably important.
Oh, no way.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential?
You're talking about the potential?
The potential? You thought to yourself, oh, a little elbow grease, some fresh installs, a little bit of love. You could transform that body full of rust into a baby that's all your own.
Cars, right?
Yeah.
It wouldn't take much to transform my ride.
Your ride's more like Schrodinger's ride. If you don't think about it, it both does and does not exist.
It is possible.
But on eBay Motors, anything is possible. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you can make sure your ride stays running smoothly. They got brake kits, LED headlights, exhaust kits, turbochargers, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
With eBay Guaranteed Fit, they're guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. That's ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Do you have the titles of your stories, gentlemen?
Yes.
Mark seems confident because I feel like it's going to be solid. Wade, are you ready? You want to hit me with your title?
Done. You ready for it?
Give it to me.
All right. Introducing the STFU.
I feel like I have an idea of what it will do, but I can't imagine how.
Blow your mind.
I expect that it will. Mark, what do you got?
The biggest, dumbest squeeze.
He didn't laugh at mine, and I laughed at his, so I guess I get you. I got to point that out, to be fair.
You know what, Wade?
Yeah.
Points for honesty. Points for you. Great job.
Oh, thank you.
I love your your fair play. Appreciate that. Sportsmanship.
He's such a good sport.
You're such a good boy.
That's why I never win anything. I'm too nice of a sport.
He's such a good boy.
Oh, I'm such a good boy. Thank you.
He's such a good boy. Here's a point for you. He's such a good boy.
Who plays nicely? Oh. You want belly scratch?
Me.
You want belly scratch?
Me, I do.
Yeah.
It's me.
All right, well.
You want me to go first? Or
that's presumptuous. I was going to have you go first until you just inserted yourself in there.
I'm sorry.
You know what, Wade?
Yeah.
Points for being patient and letting the host do their job. Mark, you're still going to go first, though.
Okay. All right. Fair. So have you heard of a thing called the Juicero?
It sounds juice related.
It sounds like a name from a Shakespeare play.
That's true.
Have you heard of Juicero?
Juicero, Juicero, wherefore art thou, apples?
No, Juicero, J-U-I-C-E-R-O. Like, the name is kind of, it's one of those, like, techie names.
Yeah, now that you spelled it, I know exactly what it is. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me ask you something. Do either of you guys juice vegetables or fruits at home?
Oh, wait, I know what this is. I don't. I don't. If I'm going to get fruit juice, I'm buying a thing of it from the store. Orange juice, apple juice, some cran, whatever. They have those.
I bit into an apple and it dripped on me.
I don't need to buy the fruit and make it myself.
I have a, what's it called? One of those knife pitchers that...
You mean a blender?
That's it. Thank you.
What? Knife pitcher? I mean, holy shit.
I'm a little scared that I knew exactly what you meant.
Oh my God.
You're fluent in Waitanese.
Oh, I don't like that. I don't like that. That's not good.
Yay.
Okay. All right. So the Juicero was a device, and I can't remember if it started on like Kickstarter or something, but it was around 2017 or 2016 that it was really, it was founded in 2013.
Oh.
Okay. So it had like star people, like former CEO of someone from Coca-Cola, I think. But the whole concept was bringing juicing into like the technological world of things and making it kind of the Keurig of juice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so this all culminated into a device that originally, when it launched in March of 2016, cost $700.
Holy shit.
Okay. $700. That's just for the machine. And the setup video for the Juicero was like a 10-minute video of talking about set it up on your desk, plug it in, connect it to your Wi-Fi, make sure that the connection is stable, let it run a system update, then insert your packet, and now squeeze! And so the hilarious thing about it was the entire machine, the entire $700 machine was unnecessary because they sold the packets of juice and you could squeeze it with your hands to get the juice out of the packet.
Yeah, so I'm looking at this. It looks like a Keurig with nothing on the front except for one button.
Yeah.
What you do is when you want a glass of juice, you go to the fridge, you pull out a plastic bag that's pre-filled with some stuff, you put it in the machine. All the machine does is squeeze it out? Why is it Wi-Fi enabled? What does that do? It literally just, even if it was whole fruits and it was a special bag contraption and it somehow did something special to cause it to shit out juice instead of pulp. What? Why? Why does this exist?
Yeah. Exactly.
I kind of want one. Are they still making these?
No, they suspended sales like a few years ago because no one was buying it. And also it was just a terrible device and it didn't make any sense. And everyone made fun of it. It was the culmination of Silicon Valley trying to technify or like bring everything into the Internet of Things, which is just, I fucking hate that phrase. It's so uselessly stupid. You could take an apple in your hand and you could squeeze it with your muscles and you could get more juice out of it than this. Or you could just eat the fucking apple. I don't like juicing. Can I just say that much? You just, if you want to get the nutrition, just eat the goddamn vegetable or goddamn fruit. Just eat it. It's there. You get the skin. You get extra nutrients. You squeeze all the fiber out of it and all the cellulose and all the other nutrients that are stuck in the cell walls and the freaking vegetable. Just eat the goddamn vegetable. Vegetable.
I can't match your level of outrage, but I have to agree completely. I get the idea of like orange juice is really tasty. Apple juice, it's like tasty, right?
Yeah.
But it's a sugar drink. It's like natural soda. If you're juicing anything, you're essentially squeezing out the wetness and throwing away all of the part that matters. The main thing about vegetables and fruit, especially fruit, because the juice is the thing that contains a lot of sugar. In most fruit, the thing that contains anything of actual value or nutrition is the pulp.
Yeah.
It's the skin, it's the cell walls, it's the everything that contains the liquid. The liquid is basically just sucralose and water or whatever. I don't know if that's the right sugar, but
I like juice.
It's good, but like it's not healthy.
No, there's the same amount of sugar in a glass of orange juice as there is in like a glass of Coca-Cola, like any
soda. Is
that
actually true?
It's really true. If it may not be exactly the same, but it's close.
That's crazy. I just Googled how much sugar is in a glass of orange. That's not right.
Yeah. While juices are more nutritious than sodas, they often contain just as much sugar. A 12-ounce glass of orange juice contains nearly the same amount of sugar as a can of Coke, around 10 teaspoons of sugar. 10 teaspoons of sugar. Scoop a spoon in a bowl of sugar 10 times into a glass of water. That's how much sugar.
I could eat that much sugar. I used to eat sugar cubes.
Yeah, well, yeah, you could. And there's nothing wrong with like one, but man.
One teaspoon or one sugar cube?
There's nothing wrong with juice. It just isn't, it seems like a scam.
Yeah, people have a misconception.
It's like ordering a salad with like chicken fingers, bacon, and ranch dressing on it. And you're like, well, I mean a salad. Yeah. Like, yeah, sure. There's lettuce in there. I feel like you're skipping on the healthy, good parts of a salad. And you're really adding in all the things that a salad is sort of trying to get you to avoid with all the fried food.
Yeah.
And like, I love a salad with chicken fingers on it, but that's not the same.
When you can't see green from all the white from the ranch dressing anymore, your salad ain't healthy.
I just want to know what else we can juice. Can we juice chicken? Can we juice steak? Can we juice like, can you juice your neighbors? Like what all can you juice?
Yeah, I mean,
I juice my neighbors all the time, man.
You can juice pretty much anything that's made of liquid, which is pretty much any organic thing, generally.
Yeah. If you put ice in there, would it juice down to water, or would it just crush the ice?
I think if you did it fast enough, you'd end up with kind of like a crushed ice situation.
Yeah, you get a slushy. Yeah,
this sounds fantastic. I want one of these.
They probably make other tools that will get you there. Probably stuff that works more consistently.
Can you juice like French fries?
I mean, okay, you're talking about the difference between juicing and liquefying, right?
No, I just want to squeeze the juice out of a potato.
The only thing you would get out of a French fry would be the oil that it got fried in.
Ooh.
I don't think you would get much else.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably a very small amount of water, but it's mostly steamed out when you fry the French fries, I think. So
Yeah.
I like that the prompt was fake tech. And somehow you found an actual thing that existed that's so bad that it sounds like a joke from some like B sci-fi movie.
I know. You want to know the worst part of it? They're making another one on Kickstarter. There
why?
Was this thing called the Juicier, and it looks exactly the fucking same. I mean,
ooh, I gotta back this.
It's so, and it had a goal of $50,000. Guess how much it raised?
Oh, like $9 million or some dumb shit.
$580,000.
Ding, 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 ding. Oh, you were over.
Oh,
it's $579,000.
Oh. It doesn't even look different. Is this by the same company?
I know. The Juicier.
It's like if you took the original Juicero and just made the front round.
Yeah.
You could see the plastic pouch sticking out of it. Oh, man. Yeah. Wow.
The media. Oh, yeah. A must-have product for busy and lazy people.
I love that for me.
Wait, you know what? You know what I will say about this new one on Kickstarter? In their demo video, it shows, so they're not pre-sealed, pre-made pouches. Maybe they do sell that. It also shows people prepping their own fruits and vegetables and then putting it into the back of a Juicier pouch. So you can make your own smoothie. It's simply cold pressed in the dumbest way that you could imagine.
What is this pouch thing you guys keep? I don't understand the pouches. I thought you took an apple or a green bean, you put it in there, you squeeze it, and some juice comes out. What's a pouch?
That's why it's stupid, Wade.
That's a juicer from, like, the 80s.
That's the stupid.
What are you, an idiot?
Yes!
No. Put it in a pouch and then have a machine that costs $700 squeeze the life out of it.
You put the green bean in a pouch?
Yeah. Are you not like Googling anything or whatever?
I'm lazy. That's why
it's
hard perfect
to
for
describe
me.
This any more accurately than we have. It's a plastic pouch filled with fruits and vegetables. You slide the plastic pouch into the machine. The machine does nothing other than squeeze the plastic pouch so that juice pees out the bottom.
That sounds great. What's wrong with this product? I love this.
Okay, this one does say it gives like 8 tons of force, but I'm also assuming in the grand scheme of juicers, like I bet there are other juice machines that have been around since the 80s that can do like 8 tons of force. I just have nothing to compare it to because I imagine the amount of force to squeeze the juice out of
a carrot.
Compare
it to your mama.
What?
Why would you She's insult? Strong.
Yeah, I guess.
God, am I good at this?
You calm down, man.
Anyway,
you get your shit together.
Anyway, that's my bit. That's my story.
I like that product. I kind of want to put things in bags and squeeze them.
That sounds like a YouTube channel that could exist. Honestly.
Yeah.
Bag and squeeze. YouTube.com/user/bag and squeeze.
Welcome to the hydraulic juice channel.
They have done like juicing stuff. I was watching them the other day. Like they put hamburgers. They did try to juice a hamburger and stuff like that. So.
Oh, no.
And you know what? It does go through the tube with sufficient force. It really does.
What if you juice a a bottle of orange juice? Is it just become orange juice with glass chunks in it?
What if you did that and just water came out and all the orange stuff stayed in the juicer? It's like magic.
And also, wait, when have you ever seen a glass bottle of orange juice?
Internet.
Good answer.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, Mark, for exceeding the prompt, finding a real fake piece of ridiculous nonsense, points for you.
Thank you.
More points than Wade has, probably.
All right, cool. Yeah, take that, Wade.
Just you wait till my turn comes up. I'm going to show you.
I was waiting. I am waiting.
All right, it's your turn, Wade. It's come up.
All right. Introducing the STFU. All right. You guys, we've all had friends.
yeah, you got me, yeah.
All right, good. We're on the same page. And, you know, people have different things going on in their lives, and notoriously throughout high school, college, and workplace life, like, there's always, like, people that are, like, are getting into drama, right? There's always, like, gossip and bullcrap going on. What if you just want to silence it, you know? You know they need to vent, but you don't want to hear it. You could use like earplugs or something, but then they'd like realize something was going on and they can't believe you do that. So what you do is you get the STFU. It's a handheld controller, like controller device that toggles vibrations in the air. You have to tune it to whoever you want to use it on, and it matches their vocal cords and just fucking mutes them, silences them, turns them off.
Ooh, I like
the
that. That's actually interesting.
STFU.
Live, real-time noise cancellation.
They're talking. They can probably hear themselves in their own head or whatever, but anything that comes out of their mouth, insta-silence.
You know, I was thought he was just bullshitting for a second, but that sounds like something that could actually be made. You have a long-range microphone that's detecting what's coming out of their mouth. It's, like, laser-based, so it can get there before the sound waves reach you, looking in, like, their mouth and whatever, and detecting the vibrations in the air before they get back, and then shoots an equivalent sound back at them. Mm-hmm. To cancel out the frequency. I don't think that's impossible.
Thank you. I will take the compliment toward my, Bob. I'm just going to note for the record that Mark's complimenting my idea. But the STFU, I mean, you know.
I mean, it's a good idea.
There's so many people out there that just talk, and it's like, please, just
tell
stop
me, Wade,
talking.
Who would you use it on? Name names.
Yeah,
specifically?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for those of you listening, earmuffs here real quick. Well, there's Michael, there's Stevie, there's that fucking guy at the counter at the deli, there's,
The deli? What is this, a 90s sitcom?
Do you not have a deli?
There's Wanda at the dry cleaners.
What, do you juice your meats?
Man, she just can't stop talking about her phone rings off the hook. And she's like, I only wish the phone cord was long enough for me to take calls in the bath.
Oh my God.
Did that saying expire, ringing off the hook? Is that a dated thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't heard anyone say that in ages.
I've heard people use it, but I mean, obviously it doesn't apply to modern digital phone technology, so feels like it's going.
But does anyone younger than us use the expression ringing off the hook?
Oh, absolutely not. We're basically boomers.
That feels bad, man. What were we talking about?
Do you guys know about the sound cannon?
No.
Like the military grade, like sound weapon thing? Yeah, I've seen that.
I've never actually like been in an area where it's used. And I swear I'm not a masochist, but I really do want to know what it's like to stand in front of that.
What's it do?
Well, it's like a huge array that like fires targeted sound, right? But when you see videos of it used on people, they react like there's knives being shoved into their head. It's intense.
Dude, it's here, I'm gonna put an image into the Discord. And I don't know, Wade, this is like the kind of weaponization you were hoping for, but at 15 meters, and 15 meters is a good distance away. Like that's at least a car length or two in front of the vehicle that it's on, because it's usually on a truck. It will cause permanent hearing loss. At 100 meters, it's extreme pain. 100 meters, longer than a football field away, extreme pain. 300 meters, severe headaches.
What if you put your head in it?
I mean,
do you actually explode?
I would assume.
Are you juiced?
I would assume.
Could you juice yourself with this?
A sound-based juicer. It's genius.
Dude, you've seen those YouTube videos where like a singer or someone is like, I'm gonna shatter this crystal glass with just the sound of my voice, and they're using resonant frequencies. The next challenge for that needs to be, I'm gonna juice this pomegranate using only the sound of my voice and the resonant frequency of the seeds inside.
I'm gonna juice this drama gossip using only the sounds of my voice. Oh, I want it.
Wait.
Wait, I got another picture for you guys. I don't know if this is like real military tech or just like a mock-up for something.
It's like an animation from a Johnny Quest cartoon. Like the sound that happens when that occurred was like...
What we're looking at, if you guys can't look right now, what we're looking at is someone dressed up in like futuristic RoboCop outfit holding a sound bazooka, blowing a hole through a wall.
That says hardened bunker next to it.
That also is damaging a blue box called target. And apparently the enemy is just knocked unconscious on the floor by the sound circles emanating from the bazooka.
The enemy in a green tracksuit is super dead on the floor.
It's described as a shoulder-fired device that produces ultra-something sonic waves that affect both living and non-living material.
Yeah, guys, if everyone listening at home, if we ever get our website up, distractablepodcast.com, we are going to have references for what we're talking about. However, I don't know if that's there. Go to distractablepodcast.com. Crash the website, do whatever you want to it right now, but eventually there will be stuff there.
No promises if it's existing right now, but that's, you know, probably.
Yeah, probably maybe. Yeah, no.
We've spent so many episodes already working against each other that now that we've combined our ideas for the sonic wave shut up or juicer combo, like you could have lunch with your enemy's juiced remains. I couldn't even follow through on that one.
All right, I gotta be honest though, Wade. Big time points for coming up with a technology that may exist someday and totally sounds like feasible and hilarious.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
I appreciate that. I have to say, I did my own research for this one.
Oh.
Because the thing that inspired this is a drama of the internet that has been unfolding over the last, I don't know, half decade approximately. Have you guys ever heard of the Kikret bracelet?
Secretion bracelet?
This. Listen, I don't know who came up with his name, but it's not easy to pronounce. It's a little bracelet that you theoretically wear on your wrist.
How do you spell it?
C-I-C-R-E-T.
I actually spelled Kikret. It right the first time, yeah.
You wear it on your wrist. It's like a little smartphone, basically. But on the inside, so on the inside of your arm, up your forearm, it projects the screen. So it's a little bracelet, and it projects the screen onto your arm, like, you know, sci-fi style. And it's a touchscreen, fully touchscreen. It's like an Android phone. There's apps, and you can watch videos on it.
What?
Have you guys ever seen this? It's...
No.
There was a whole Kickstarter thing. Well, I don't actually know if it was a Kickstarter, but it was one of those where it was, you know, it was this thing where they pitched the idea, and everyone was kind of like, that'd be really cool. Like, that sounds like it could exist. That sounds, you know, feasible. Sure. Some version of it may exist, some sort of tech, you know, demo of it potentially exists, but all of their, the site doesn't even exist anymore. All of their promos, all of their videos that I have ever seen, they're fake. They're computer graphics. Well, okay, it appears to be gone forever off the internet now, but there's a really great Captain Dissolution video about the bracelet. He's this guy who does YouTube videos debunking like video effects and viral videos and stuff. And he breaks down like shot for shot, both how the video is clearly faked, how it's like computer graphics overlaid over the images that they filmed, and also how this technology couldn't even remotely exist and all the technical issues with it. But like it raised a lot of money. It raised, I think, hundreds of thousands of dollars, tons of backers. It's this huge, like, weird case study and, like, just utter bullshit being shilled. And then the company's gone now, apparently.
Wow, that's fascinating. Like, it's legitimately fascinating because I'm looking at some of these images. I'm looking at them right now, and I'm like, that could be believable, just the way that they have it projected onto the skin in some of these. And admittedly, these are screenshots of things, but just like the idea behind it, it seems like something that would be feasible, but I can totally see how someone was just like, yeah, we'll scam it out. It reminds me of those bracelets that people wear for like balance or like the magnets or whatever it is to detoxify your whatevers. And it's just like someone brought that idea into the 21st century. Like someone in the middle of a mall, you know, they don't even have a booth. They're just like standing in between a pillar and they jump
people.
Out and they're like, you want it? And then they put a bracelet on. They actually shove you first. You know, they come up to you like, hey, you're off balance. Burf. And then you fall over. You're like, what the fuck? You don't have one.
bracelets, bitch.
I want a sonic cannon, those people.
We need a portable sonic cannon, one that you can wear on you, like a bracelet sonic cannon.
The rocket launch. Oh, bracelet cannon, dude. Oh my God, we're coming together. You can juice, you can silence.
I mean, so I've told you it's fake, but would you have bought this? Like, if you came across this at the right point in your life on the internet, and it was, I don't know how much it was. It was probably quite expensive.
Yeah.
But if it was, you know, $500 or something.
It was mainly a projector on your wrist?
Yeah, so it's literally a bracelet, and the image is projected out of the bracelet onto your skin.
It's one of those things where, like, when the first Oculus Rift came out, it, compared to what it can do today, it's the jankiest, stupidest thing that you could possibly imagine, right? However, it did work. And, like, you could put the headset on, you could move your head around, and you would be in the world. And I remember playing Dumpy Goes Elephants, and I remember just slapping things around with, like, my nose, and that was amazing to me. So I can totally see how people might misconstrue this, being like, oh, this is just the first generation of something cool. Even if it works janky, I want to see it. So if you believe that it's actually a product, then, you know, like, why not? You know, it does seem like something that could exist and then maybe would expand beyond it, but... You know, at the same time, a lot of people shilling a lot of interesting things out there.
I don't know why I'd want something broadcasted on my skin.
I mean, it's not any different than your phone screen.
Well, no, but like the watches and stuff nowadays, you can just look at the watch. Like it just, the image is on the watch face. Why would I?
It's big though. It's big.
I mean, if it could project, like, you know, if you could stand back and project it onto like a wall or something, like, you know, you're hanging out with your friends. It's like, oh, I'll watch a movie. And you just like type on your watch and then all of a sudden the brick wall can display the image. Like that'd be pretty cool. But just on my skin, it'd be like, I don't know what I'd want to look at that badly, that quickly. That has to be like that. I don't know. Maybe the later iterations, yeah, but that first one would be like, eh. I was kind of like that with like the iPhone and stuff too. Like the first time they were like, flip phones are no longer needed. You can have a big screen. I was like, that's stupid. I hate it. I don't want it. Maybe
really?
I'm just resistant to change.
When I saw the first iPhone, it blew my fucking mind. I had no idea that was even a thing that you could do. Touch screens itself was always like very futuristic for me. You know,
yeah.
And so whenever I saw like the first execution of a touchscreen with your finger and not a stylus, I was like, what the hell? Like this, it just seemed like this quantum leap ahead in technology that I didn't see coming. So I was super excited about it. I didn't get an iPhone until like the iPhone 3GS, but like getting that.
Oh, that's pretty early.
It was like, that's third generation. I think it was iPhone, then iPhone 3G, and then iPhone 3GS. And then it was just like, but when I got that, it changed my entire life experience. Suddenly, to this day, everyone has changed to the point where they're always looking at their phones every single day, and you can't imagine not. Before that, I did not have the experience of pulling something out of my pocket and looking at it for even like the minority of my day. And it turned into the majority of my day was looking at this phone, playing like phone games. Like, I think there was a stupid like infinite money, like whatever thing. It was like dumbass games, terrible games. They're no different today. Mobile games still suck to this day. But it's just like, it was mind blowing, that kind of thing that I could do.
Yeah. I think like the first real like panic attack, like freak out that I ever had in my life was when I got my first smartphone. I was really spoiled. I was obsessed with it though. It was one of those things where I got it for a birthday present and I talked about it for like years ahead of time because I followed it. It was coming out. I was obsessed with it. I was telling my parents about it constantly. And I think it was in like 2008 or 2009 for my birthday. I got a T-Mobile G1,
ooh,
which was the first Android phone that ever existed.
Ooh.
Like it was one of those things where I was at college and my parents lived at home a couple hours away. They drove down and came into my like apartment and judged how nasty it was probably. And they were like, here's your birthday present. And I opened it. And I didn't think I was going to get it because like you said, Mark, like smartphones were like space technology. This is like alien shit, like doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And I opened it and I held it in my hand and I didn't say a word. I was freaking out. Mm-hmm. We like walked downstairs. We were going somewhere to have like dinner and spend some time with my parents. And we were in the van and I was sitting there staring at my hands, holding this thing in my hand, like hyperventilating, having a total breakdown of just like, I can't believe this exists.
Yeah.
And I still remember that feeling because there's a lot of shit that exists now where like the first time I used a VR headset, like that's a good example. I put it on and you look at it. No one who used first generation VR was like, whoa, it's realistic. Like you look at it and you could see the pixels and you can see all the flaws.
Yeah.
But then you start playing a game and you're just like, oh, no.
Yeah.
No, this is not real. This is a dream or something like
that. Yeah.
Something about technology, just like somewhere deep inside me, when I really touch something that's novel and that really changes how I get to interact with technology or how my life works, it freaks me out, man.
Wade, what was your first experience with VR or something like this?
I mean, going way, way back, the first time I think technology blew me away was when the PlayStation 2 came out.
Oh,
Legit.
I remember launching that up. Like, I didn't know I was going to get it either because it was like, you know, every time that a new console comes out, you know how hard it is to get. So my mom waited in line like 6 hours to get it. And I remember I had a friend over. We plugged it in, turned it on, and compared to like PlayStation graphics and Nintendo graphics and everything else. Now looking back, the graphics don't look that impressive, but at the time, comparatively, like it was mind-blowing how realistic that was, how big of a leap in graphics it was. And I was just thinking to myself, like, I cannot believe video games have come this far. Like, there's no way they can go up from here.
Oh my God. I used to watch technical demos for gameplay all the time. Like the Doom 3 technical demo with its lighting and shadows. I had the same feeling every time I looked at that. And I had the same feeling recently with the Unreal Engine 5 tech demo. Have you guys seen that?
No.
Yeah. Is it the one where they go through like the apartment?
No. This is the one where they go through the temple.
Oh, I haven't
seen
that.
Unreal Engine 5 tech demo. It gave me like, I felt chills down my spine looking at this because what they were able to do in real time on like current generation hardware with the way the lighting interacts and the physical like movements of things inside of it and just looking at that, and I know it's like a perfect scenario for this to work flawlessly on the system, but the fact that the graphics are just so good and like technology coming forward like this, I still to this day get chills looking at these kinds of accomplishments. And it may not seem like a lot for a lot of people, but my whole life has been seeing these steps play out, and every time I see like technology take another step, it's just, oh, it opens my mind. When the Falcon rockets, oh my God, do you remember the video,
dude.
The twin Falcons landing at the same time?
Yes.
Oh my God, like,
yeah.
Never in my mind had I considered that was possible.
I did not watch live, but I heard people talking about it, and I sort of follow SpaceX, but that happened, and I expected to hear like, you know, the test didn't work, it was a horrific accident, and they both exploded or whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't hear anything about it, and I was like, hey, did that work? That doesn't sound possible. And I watched that. No, I must have watched that one, you know, maybe 60 seconds of the final descent and the final burn and everything.
Yeah.
For like an hour and a half. Just rewatching it. Just like, there's no way that happened.
Wait, have you seen this?
The rockets, I did. Yeah. No, that was awesome.
Oh,
I was thinking
God.
About the... Another one that blows my mind is the fact that we have self-driving cars. I know it's not utilized, like, you know, 100% of the time or whatever now, but, like, just the concept of that existing seemed like... It 10 years ago, even, if you told me we would have the option of having our cars drive themselves, like, okay, maybe in 100 years. Not... Now,
yeah.
I don't know. Looking at this, I'm looking at the temple. I remember in PlayStation 2, a game like Smuggler's Run that came out, or some of the games that came out, and it's like you could drive around or walk around and see like the graphics. And they'd have like, even back then, it was like repeating patterns everywhere. This looks like an actual cave or temple, whatever. Like, this is amazing.
I know. I've always, I don't know if I've said this to you guys, but I've always thought that inspiration is like the most valuable thing you can give to people, like above almost everything else in terms of humanity. Like the reason like landing people on the moon, not even just like Americans, but landing people on the moon was so important. Like from a cost perspective, from a practicality perspective, yeah, sure, there's science and stuff, but like for everyone's day-to-day life, it doesn't really affect it. But the moment, the footage of people seeing that someone landed on the moon, that changed an entire generation's perspective of what was even possible. Like,
I thought that was fake.
Don't fucking get this started, man. I'll destroy you. I'll destroy you. No, but just like things like this are essential because it sparks imagination in future generations. It sets a standard of default, right? It makes it so that the next generation is like, oh yeah, we can do that. For the people that see it in their life, they're like, that's fucking amazing. That's incredible. And then for the next generation, they're like, oh, of course we can land on the moon. Why wouldn't we? And then the expectations just keep exceeding themselves. And like when people see, oh my God, these Falcon boosters landing. When I saw that Starship coming down, that undershot of it, I don't know if you guys saw of it. It crashed anyway, but even just the shot of it, it looked CG. I was like, there's no fucking way this is real. But it was.
Watching all the vectoring of the three engines under the...
Yeah.
Oh, man, yeah. Ooh. You know what this always makes me wonder? Because we're kind of in a middle ground generationally.
Yeah.
We're kind of in this place where, like, we basically grew up with the internet,
yeah,
right? Uh-huh. But like the internet wasn't really completely ubiquitous, I would say, until maybe high school for us.
Yeah, yeah.
I basically feel like I grew up with the internet. I always had computers around. My dad was a computer guy. Both my parents were software engineers. They studied that in college.
Yeah.
I grew up around computers and stuff, but it's a whole different thing from like, I'm familiar with computers. I'm totally competent using like a cell phone. I don't find it mysterious, where I feel like our parents' generation, still the idea of the touchscreen, how cell phones work, the like logic of how new, smaller computers work is so crazy to them. Like my parents were software engineers, but they were, when they were in college, they were like making computer code on punch cards,
yeah,
where you're physically punching out ones and zeros on a stack of like 500 index cards, and then you feed them into the machine and it executes your code. And I feel like we're in a whole different generation of what we view as computers and the internet and where it's coming from and how it works versus like the Zoomers, not to use a derogatory term, but you know, Gen Z kids have grown up with, they've all had iPhones their whole life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even crazy to them that touchscreens exist. They don't even question it. Like you said, Mark, the default standard existence for them is internet's everywhere, 4G is everywhere. You can Google anything on demand. You can have any music or media you want in any location. If a Gen Z kid ends up in a place where there's no cell service, they're like, what is this? The Middle Ages? You're like, what? And like, that's annoying to me. But I remember when cell service was like a luxury. When my dad had a cell phone and it was like, yeah, you get cell service like sometimes. Make a call, maybe, if you need it. But you don't expect it. Like, it's just, I'm so curious what the new generation's, the youngest generation's perspective is on tech. Imagine what they're going to create that we can't even, you know, fathom.
That's true.
And they're going to see things that blow their mind that we won't even comprehend, or you, yeah, know, maybe we won't even be alive for. But
we'll get to a point where, like, yeah, we're going to see them have their mind-blowing thing come out. Because I remember, like, junior high school, when some people started getting cell phones, because that was definitely not a thing, like, in elementary school, even middle school, I don't remember anyone having a cell phone. My aunt had one for work,
mm-hmm,
and, like, that was it. And I remember my grandma getting one. You could play like Snake on the cell phone. That was the only game. Other than that, oh, it was, yeah, just calls.
Yeah.
Internet-wise, it was like I would use dial-up to play Diablo and like Diablo 2. That was pretty much it. I would get on the internet to play Diablo 2. There was no browsing the internet. I don't think I used the internet for hardly anything until MySpace and Facebook popped up. Everyone had the MySpace. Then like it was crazy when they added the ability to like have music playing or whatever. Facebook cropped up and it was literally only for like college kids, I think. It was not meant for anyone like younger than college kids, but we all like made fake accounts to get on there.
Yeah, you like had to have an EDU email and it was like invite, yeah, it was the whole thing. Invite only.
There was no browsing the internet for things. Social media, I mean, I guess there was Instant Messenger, AOL Instant Messenger. Everyone had like an AIM account, but like, I didn't really feel like you were on the internet for that. It was like you'd have a game up or you'd be playing Minesweeper or something. You'd have AIM up and just be chatting with like schoolmates and stuff.
Yeah.
And now, to your point about like technology passing us by, I don't know if you guys watched any of like the Senate hearings or whatever it was with Zuckerberg, and then they had the other guy on there too.
The Zuck.
Some of like the politicians had really, really pointed good questions for these guys. And some of them were just like, my phone has Facebook. Can you get me better internet? And it's like, that, what? And it's it's terrifying to think that some of the lawmakers, like, you know, there was the big privacy, internet privacy thing a couple of years back. It's terrifying how many of the people making these big decisions have no idea what or how is technology at all. Like, no clue.
Yeah.
That'll be us soon. In the next generation, yeah, when Gen Z people are our age and we're the old people, we'll have Senate members, Congress people who are like, why would I care if Super Twitter tracks where my footsteps have been? I don't know. I didn't even use an H phone.
Yeah.
And all the Zoomers are like, oh God, why are these people in charge? Just go take a nap. God, fuck, stay out of my life.
I think what it is like the idea that learning stops at some point. You know what I mean? It's kind of prevalent in society that once you're done with school, you stop learning. For me, it's never been like that. It's like every day is learning. And I think for you guys, too. And I think also the age of the internet kind of like encourages a constant seeking of information and constant seeking of new stuff. And what it does is it like basically forces you to keep up or else you will get left behind. So I think there is more of a pressure than there was in the past to have like this constant momentum forward of learning what is new. Because I'm not saying that I'm not going to be out of touch with some things or think that some things are, you know, useful in the far-flung future of when I'm ancient and crumbling. But, like, at the same time, I think if we just encourage, like, for politicians, they should be required to learn new things. They should be taking classes. They should have tutors. There's no excuse for ignorance when it comes to things that are important for society. Like constant education is important in all aspects of life, and constantly seeking new information is essential to grow as a person, because you don't stop growing as a person. You may stop physically growing, but, you know, just, like, mentally, like, exploring new ideas has to be a perpetual thing.
Do you think we've already reached the point where technology is growing at such a rapid pace that it's actually impossible to keep up and be able to properly legislate it? Like, do you think we're already there?
I mean, the nature of the legal system in America is that it's always going to be behind. It's designed to change slowly so that it's not overly reactionary. How slow it should be is debatable. But, you know, on an idealistic level, you don't exactly want the every time there's a new revolution, every time something changes the internet in some fundamental way, the way like social media has with its prevalency over the last decade, since it's really become a focal point. You don't really necessarily want that to start changing laws immediately, but it does feel like we're at a place where tech is way out ahead of where laws are at and people's understanding of what tech can do and how that should be regulated by the legal system.
We've been doing YouTube, Twitch, that kind of thing for like basically what, 8 or 9 years now, almost a decade. And I still feel like it's the Wild West out here sometimes. Like, we don't even know, like, rules change, the whole Twitter DMCA thing, YouTube with their adpocalypse, and like, you know, all the rule changes on the platforms all the times. And then the way, not the FDA. What's the organization that comes in with the...
You can go with the FDA.
Yeah, the FDA, sure.
Whoever is in charge of making sure that we put, like, hashtag ad in our titles properly and our tweets and all that
stuff.
Oh,
the FCA?
The FTC?
Of the FCC, yeah.
Whichever one of those 80 options you guys just presented is the real one. Yeah, like, you know, that's all still evolving and changing. And that's just within our industry. And we keep up on that like crazy. Like I said, the scary... Like, we don't even know all the technology being worked on right now and how to properly legislate it and stuff. I just wonder, like, you know, I know it has to be a little bit behind, but you have to wonder if eventually it'll be so far behind that there's just no even catching up, not just legally, but just like keeping up with it. Our own knowledge, like, there's always like that thing where like technology will eventually surpass our ability to understand it or whatever, or AI will be building AI. Like, I don't think we're at that point, but
no, not yet, but it probably will come. Like, here's something to blow your mind comparatively. Like, there's very few people that actually like would be able to put together by themselves the kind of computer architecture that goes into CPUs today. They're so incredibly complex, and the rules to make them, they have software that basically assists them in all aspects to make sure that all the logical processes are going together, because there's billions of them. Like, it's more than any one person could ever keep track of, and it's more than anything that one like paper document could ever draft up. Like, to lose that and to have to like start over, you have to work quite a bit up to get back to that point. They're just like, there are some processes that are incredibly complex that are more than one person can understand. But also, you know, human ingenuity, if we build it at one point, we can build it again. Until we get things that are designed by things that we don't understand, we won't reach that point. But that may come in the future.
Well,
we're all gonna die.
We're all dust in the wind. And the wind is the fart of a god in the face of a different god. So it's insignificant.
What? It's a perfect capstone to this episode.
That sums it up. What are we talking about?
Fake tech.
Fake tech. Sure. Yeah. And of course, I remember what you both talked about. I seem to remember giving Wade quite a few points, but then giving Mark a huge boost of points. Yeah, I have to say, Wade, in that last bit there, you started to sound a little out of touch. Like, you're already aging out of technology. You started to sound a little scared,
oh,
man.
Come on.
And to comfort
you, we're
all
the same age here, ish.
To comfort you, to give you one, I'm gonna give you 30, like 30 more points.
Does that push him beyond me?
How does it feel to lose again, Mark?
And because your idea, I know I already gave you points for idea, but because your idea was literally so good and I loved it, and like, want to use it? Well, I'm gonna give you, wait, I'm gonna give you like 400 more points for the quality
Jesus
of your idea.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God, this is a landslide
good
victory.
God.
And then, let's see, what else happened? And for your pick for the first technology that really blew your mind, Wade, as the PS2, I respect that. I really respect that. I'm going to give you like 75 more points.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God.
Oh, we're going to spend all this. We have to invest this.
Tally up the scores. And I keep track. We'll do a little addition. That means today's winner by a landslide is Mark.
All right.
What?
No!
Wait. It turned out I gave Mark like 250,000 points.
Oh,
wait a minute.
Oh man.
What, you laughed at his title. You enjoyed that. You wanted one. You wanted a juicer.
How much was my laugh at his title worth?
Oh, a lot. Huge chunk. Look, the specifics escape me. I've already forgotten.
Right. That's fair, I guess.
But you put up a real fight, Wade. Kinda.
No, that's fair.
I think you ended up with at least like 500 points.
I felt pretty good about that until
I legitimately thought I was losing. I don't know why I care so much.
No, do you need to give like a speech or something? You all right? You sound like you're going
to
tear up.
Yeah, I want to thank everyone that liked and followed the podcast. I'd like to thank them personally. Though you're the real heroes. You're better than anyone who doesn't
like
and follow.
Can you like and follow,
subscribe.
The podcast? Is that a thing we can do?
I don't know. I have no idea. But just, man, every single one of you, true heroes, you're the reason I won this today. I give this to you. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to Distractible, a Wood Elf production. This has been Mark, Bob, and Wade. Check out everyone's social medias, whatever. You don't care. The real thing you got to do is make sure you're following this podcast so that you never miss a new episode. You're already listening to it, so you're right here. Just click the little plus, click the little follow, whatever. That's the end. Congratulations to Mark. Good effort, Wade.
Yeah, thanks.
I hope that your idea does exist. That feels like it could totally exist.
I guess I used it on myself this episode.
Mark, since you're the winner, do you want to do the honors? Do you want to say it?
Can I say the thing? Congrats, Wade, on the dignified loss, and thank you, Bob, for being a fair judge. This has been Distractible Podcast out!